Greetings, and welcome to the Profound Medical Corporation third quarter 2016 financial results. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. A question-and-answer session will follow the formal presentation. If anyone should require operator assistance during the conference, please press star zero on your telephone keypad. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded. I would now like to turn the conference over to your host, Mr. Steve Kilmer. Thank you, Mr. Kilmer. You may begin.
Thank you, Tim. Good afternoon, everyone. Let me start by pointing out that this conference call will include forward-looking statements regarding Profound and its business, which may include, but is not limited to, the expectations regarding the efficacy of Profound's technology in the treatment of prostate cancer. Often, but not always, forward-looking statements can be identified by the use of words such as plans, is expected, expects, scheduled, intends, contemplates, anticipates, believes, proposes, or variations, including negative variations, of such words and phrases, or state that certain actions, events, or results may, could, would, might, or will be taken, occur, or be achieved. Such statements are based on the current expectations of the management of each entity. The forward-looking events and circumstances discussed in this conference call may not occur by certain specified dates or at all, and could differ materially as a result of known and unknown risk factors and uncertainties affecting the company, including risks regarding the pharmaceutical industry, economic factors, the equity markets generally, and risks associated with growth and competition. Although Profound has attempted to identify important factors that could cause actual actions, events, or results to differ materially from those described in forward-looking statements, there may be other factors that cause actions, events, or results to differ from those anticipated, estimated, or intended. No forward-looking statement can be guaranteed. Except as required by applicable securities laws, forward-looking statements speak only as of the date on which they are made, and Profound undertakes no obligation to publicly update or revise any forward-looking statement, whether a result of new information, future events, or otherwise, other than as required by law. With that said, I'll now turn the call over to Arun Menawat, Profound CEO. Arun?
Thank you, Steve. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Profound's Q3 2016 conference call. On behalf of the management team and everyone at Profound Medical, I would like to thank you for your ongoing interest in our company. And also, I would like to particularly welcome the new shareholders who have joined us in the last financing. In a moment, I will turn the call over to our Vice President of Finance, Rashid Divan, for a review of our Q3 financial results. However, before doing that, I would like to take this opportunity to discuss Profound's vision for prostate ablation therapy and the value proposition offered by our TULSA-PRO platform. The end of Q3 brings with it the conclusion of my first quarter as CEO of Profound, and as part of settling into my new role over the past few months, I have spoken with various stakeholders, including staff, members of the investment community, patients, and clinicians about what sets our technology apart, not only for those suffering from prostate disease, but also for the doctors and medical professionals that treat them. And through these conversations, a really compelling story has emerged that I would like to share with you today. In particular, I believe that there are four main factors that differentiate the TULSA-PRO system from other therapies for prostate ablation. The first comes from the emotional stress that patients naturally feel with a prostate cancer disease. As you can imagine, the discovery of prostate disease can be devastating and lead to a profoundly disorienting period for a person's life. The unfortunate reality for prostate cancer patients is that they are often given the inevitable choice of active surveillance, a drawn-out period of limbo that does little to alleviate the stress. And I think that this often fails to consider just how much this can impact someone's quality of life when we have a cancer diagnosis hanging over our heads. And so, at a very top level, our therapy offers an important new option to people who want to fight their cancer and a welcome alternative to the passive approach that's being promoted today through active surveillance. The second thing that I believe sets TULSA-PRO apart from our treatment modalities has to do with side effects. The reason that active surveillance is being recommended in the first place is so that many patients who might benefit from active treatment is because the side effect profile of current therapies is unacceptable. Today, there are approximately 2.8 million patients in the United States and 3 million patients in Europe who are under active surveillance. Meanwhile, TULSA-PRO and its unique inside-out versus outside-in approach can minimize suffering, reduce side effects, achieve equivalent or better efficacy. We think this superior risk-reward profile makes TULSA-PRO a very appealing alternative for those in active surveillance, and we believe this will resonate with patients who are afraid to pursue treatments today because of the potential side effects that they would face with current therapies. Third, we have to recognize the importance of time. When compared with active surveillance or other treatments such as radiation or radical prostatectomy, the patient can expect multiple visits to the doctor or hospital. With TULSA-PRO, patients undergo a single procedure with a relatively quick discharge. This means that a patient can more quickly return to their normal life and move on from a difficult diagnosis. And finally, our platform clearly leads competing therapies when it comes to cost. Because TULSA-PRO is not in the operating room, and knowing it's a one-and-done procedure, we can expect that it will be a more cost-effective treatment option for patients. And those cost savings are not only meaningful to patients, it also brings costs down for practitioners, hospitals, and payers. Taken together, these benefits can lead to a significant difference in the future of men who suffer from this terrible affliction. TULSA-PRO is quick, cost-effective, provides equivalent or better efficacy with minimal side effects, and enables patients to quickly resume their quality of life. And that value proposition, that vision for the future of prostate treatment is why I'm excited about this therapy. One final point. Because TULSA is a real-time MR-guided platform, it offers precise and accurate prostate ablation that is customized to each patient. We consider real-time imaging for cancer treatment to be the next generation of cancer treatment. And while TULSA-PRO is designed for prostate ablation therapy today, we do see the potential to extend this technology into other markets in the future. With that, I'll now like to turn the call over to Rashid to discuss our Q3 financials.
Thank you, Arun, and good afternoon, everyone. I'll begin with our R&D expenditures, which were $848,000 higher for the 3 months ended September 30th, 2016, compared to the same period in 2015. The increase was primarily due to the activities related to the preparation of the regulatory filing for marketing approval of TULSA-PRO in Canada and work associated with the initiation of the TACT pivotal clinical trial. As a result, consulting expenses increased by $432,000 and validation expenses for clinical trials increased by $72,000. The number of employees involved in R&D also increased during the period, resulting in salaries and benefits increased by $378,000. These increases were offset by reduction in material expense of $163,000 as costs related to prototyping decreased. SG&A expenses for the 3 months ended September 30, 2016 were higher by $174,000 compared to the 3 months ended September 30, 2015, primarily due to $218,000 increase in salaries and benefits expenses related to the German subsidiary, which we established at the beginning of the year. Rent and office expenses also increased by $108,000 due to relocation to the new larger facility in July, which was partially offset by lower share option expense. Overall, the company recorded a net loss for the 3 months ended September 30, 2016 of $4.1 million, or 10 cents per common share, compared to a net loss of $3 million, or 8 cents per common share for the 3 months ended September 30, 2015. As of September 30, 2016, the company had cash and short-term investment of $9.6 million. Importantly, this does not include any of the proceeds from the recent bond deal, which closed earlier this week and yielded aggregate gross profits of approximately $17.4 million to Profound. We think that additional funding combined with cash on hand is sufficient to support the completion of the TACT pivotal trial and at the same time to continue to advance our TULSA-PRO sales activities in Europe. As at November 16, 2016, Profound had an unlimited number of authorized common shares with 55,305,577 common shares issued and outstanding. Thank you, and I'll now turn the call back over to Arun.
Thank you, Rashid. Before we conclude our prepared remarks today, I'd like to provide you with two more brief updates on some key activities that are underway at Profound. The first, of course, is our TACT pivotal clinical trial. This is a prospective single-arm pivotal clinical study of 110 patients that is designed to further evaluate the safety and efficacy of TULSA-PRO to ablate prostate tissue in patients with localized organ-confined prostate cancer. The trial will be carried out in multiple sites throughout the United States, Germany, the Netherlands, Spain, and Canada, through most of the patients will be treated in the United States. We are waiting for some additional IRB approvals to come before announcing the full list, but in the meantime, I can tell you that we have been able to attract some of the most renowned sites and investigators within the United States, including Vanderbilt, UCLA, Johns Hopkins University, and University of Chicago. In September, we announced that the first patient in the TACT trial has been successfully treated at Vanderbilt Medical Center in Nashville, Tennessee. This was a major milestone for Profound, and we expect that the recruitment process will continue as planned into next year before it is expected to conclude in the summer of 2017. We believe that this study will affirm the results of our Phase 1 trial and validate our belief that TULSA-PRO has the potential to be a true game-changing clinical option for patients with localized prostate cancer. The second update I want to provide you is on the OUS commercialization status of TULSA-PRO. You may recall that we previously announced the sale of 3 devices in Europe earlier this year. I'm pleased to say that we have a fourth order already in place, and we are poised to complete at least 1 or 2 additional orders, international sales, before the end of this year. With these orders on the books, we plan to start shipping the product in the coming weeks, which translates into Q4 being the first period in which we officially recognize revenue. With this momentum for TULSA-PRO building, we're going to be executing what I think can be best characterized as a pilot launch for the product in the first half of 2017. We still have lots of work to do in terms of establishing and refining our sales process, better understanding our markets, and navigating a variety of regulatory and reimbursement environments. So having a methodical launch allows us to really focus on educating and working with our first customers, driving adoption and utilization of the technology at these key sites, and properly establishing all of our corporate practices and processes. The reality is that we have a very new and unique technology on our hands, and so we want to make sure that everything is in order when a full rollout TULSA-PRO, when we completely roll out TULSA-PRO, which is intended to be in the second half of 2017. I'll close the call by highlighting one last piece of good news that we are proud of. In October, Profound announced that we received Frost & Sullivan 2016 European Prostate Ablation Systems New Product Innovation Award for the TULSA-PRO system. Everyone at Profound was excited to receive this award, and I think it validates the value proposition that I spoke about at the beginning of the call. We truly view TULSA-PRO as a potential breakthrough clinical option for patients with localized prostate cancer, and we were happy to hear that Frost & Sullivan shared our optimism for the potential of this therapy. This ends my remark, and with that, we're happy to take any calls you might have. Operator, I'd like to turn it over to you.
Thank you. At this time, we will be conducting a question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. A confirmation tone will indicate your line is in the question queue, and you may press star 2 if you would like to remove your question from the queue. For participants using speaker equipment, it may be necessary to pick up your handset before pressing the star keys. One moment, please, while we poll for questions. Our first question comes from the line of Martin Landry of GMP Securities. Please proceed with your question.
Yes, good evening. My first question, I'd like to get a little bit more color on your pivotal study. I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit more about the sites. Just wondering how many sites are operational and ready to treat patients as of today?
Sure, Martin. Good afternoon. So at the moment, we have our first site is running. We've treated a couple of patients already. We are expecting that at least one-third sites will be running by the end of this year, maybe a little more than a third. But we have been shipping a number of the devices at the moment. So the expectation is we will be in double digits on recruitment by the end of this year. And then the recruitment we expect will really pick up in January.
Okay. Did you say a third of the sites are going to be ready to treat by year end?
That's right. So we're looking at about 15 sites. We expect that about 10 of those sites will be the core recruiters, and these early sites are likely to be the core recruiters, and I think about 5 of those should be running by end of this year.
Okay. And can you talk a little bit about your commercial activities in Europe? As you mentioned, you made a couple of sales in the spring. But if I heard your opening remarks correctly, I think you've mentioned that you've just shipped the devices recently. Just wondering, what's been causing the delay or that length of time between the sale and the shipment?
Sure. So, you know, as I mentioned in my prepared remarks, this is a very, very new technology. And so these first couple of sites were sites where our partner companies, the MR suppliers, also had orders. So these are bundled orders. And so we had to work in concert with everyone in the beginning to do so. That is, as I said, it's a short-term thing. But now these at least a couple of these sites are going to be running this quarter. And I think I expect that at least for another 6 months, we probably will have, a couple of months between the time we get an order and the time we ship our devices. But over the longer haul in the future, you know, I think this is a cart that is on wheels, and I think as our installation procedures become pretty routine, it's not going to be an issue. But at the moment, we're being very, very methodical as we approach installations.
Mm-hmm. So
does that help you, or is there a different question you wanted to ask?
No, that's helpful. So you expect a couple of units to be in operations in Q4. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
Correct.
And then just for 17, what should we expect in terms of length between a sale and installation and operation of the unit?
Sure. So I think for the first half of the year, as I said in the remarks, we will be very methodical as we place these devices, and we want to go through all of our processes and develop them. And so during that period, I would say expect at least a quarter between the time we receive our orders and we ship the orders. But I would expect that as we do a full launch in the second half, that time will begin to shrink. But Martin, I would like to wait and make sure that we have all the data before I can tell you exactly what it would be, but I certainly expect it would be less than what it is at this time. You know, just to broaden this a little bit, what I'm actually quite pleased with and impressed with, to be honest, is the fact that we are, even at this early stage, Q4, we're seeing good requests from hospitals. And as I said in the remarks, that we are actually getting orders and we're starting to now ship. So, you know, there is certainly demand and interest in this product, even at this early stage.
Mm-hmm. And then just lastly, on your facility in Toronto, what's your assembly capacity right now, and is that a bottleneck or not at all?
We don't expect it to be a bottleneck. We are building our own manufacturing facilities in Mississauga, but we do have all of these products are outsourced at the moment, so we're not going to kill the outsourcing capability until we're fully functional. So I don't expect that to be a problem.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Martin.
I would like to remind all of our participants at this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. We have no further questions over the audio portion of the conference at this time. We have one question that just come in from the line of Andre Uden of Mackey Research. Please proceed with your question, Andre.
Sure. Actually, Arun, just one question for you.
Sure, Andre.
Just in terms of if you complete the patient enrollment by the summer 2017, when will we see the first top-line data?
Sure. So we, at this point, our expectation is that we will complete the enrollment by June of 2017. So that's mid-year of 17. We will be publishing interim data certainly in the second half of next year. We may publish some in the first half of next year. We're reviewing those options at the moment. In terms of completion of the trial, we do need 12 months of biopsy data in the end. So if we finish the recruitment and treatment by June 2017, we will have 12 months data by June of 2018. But as we did in the phase 1 study, you know, we'll have sufficient data in 6-month data, which will be pretty telling. And it will also, you know, the 6-month data will also be extrapolable for the 12 months because we have history with this. So we'll be able to share these, you know, extrapolations and so on. Certainly throughout the second half of next year.
And also, just at your clinical, one more question, just in terms of the clinical sites, how long is it taking you to actually train the staff to use everything so that they're operational?
Sure. Yeah, very good question. You know, at the moment, we think it's somewhere between 5 to 10 surgeries, which is typically not very long. We think that, you know, certainly radiologist is also helping at the moment. So the way I look at it is that right now we want to make sure all the experts are there and that we are overdoing it in terms of training and so on. Over the long haul, you know, I think that this will be a very visual procedure for the urologist. They are already starting to get used to visualizing prostate with MRs. And if we need to conduct training, we will actually be able to do offline training because it's really all about understanding the images. The rest of it is pretty straightforward. They're pretty used to doing. So I don't anticipate training would be a significant issue over the long haul.
So it's five to ten surgeries before you would say that they would be well trained in the deployed youth.
That's right. That's right.
And how many urologists does that take? Is it just one urologist who's training each center, or is it several?
Well, from the point of view of you know, safety, we want at least two urologists to be trained, right? So that's the target that we're using at the moment. But, you know, for commercial sites, we will probably stay with the first two for the first few months, and then we'll certainly broaden it to everyone at the site.
Okay. Thank you.
I would like to remind our participants again, if you would like to ask a question during the session, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. There are no further questions over the audio portion of the conference. I would now like to turn the conference back over to management for closing remarks.
Thank you so much, and we're looking forward to communicating with you in the new year for our Q1 or end of the year results. Thank you.